Felicity's butler opens the door and I push my way inside, past his protests. Felicity! I call out, not caring about manners or protocol. Anne! In here, Felicity answers from the library. I barrel my way in with the butler on my heels.
Miss Doyle to see you, miss,
he says, determined to return some sense of decorum to the proceedings. Thank you, Shames. That will be all, Felicity says. What is it? She asks when we are alone. Is it something about Miss Moore? Have you found a way to get her back? I shake my head. We're found out. Lady Denby has made inquiries. She's found your cousin, Anne. She knows we've been masquerading all this time. I sink into a chair. I am so very tired. Then everyone will know. You may be sure of that, Felicity says, looking truly terrified. Anne pales. I thought you said no one will be the wiser. I hadn't counted on Lady Denby and her hatred of my mother. Anne sits, trembling. I'm ruined, and we shall never be allowed to see one another again. Felicity's hand is a fist at her stomach. Papa shall have my head. It was your idea, Anne says, pointing a finger at Felicity. You were only too happy to play along. Please stop, I say. We have to keep Lady Denby from telling what she knows. No one can keep her from that, Felicity says. She is a very determined woman, and this is the sort of gossip that she lives for. We could come up with another story, Anne says, pacing. How long before she makes inquiries on that one as well, I say. Anne sits on the settee, lays her head on her arm, and cries. We could use the magic, Felicity says. No, I say. Felicity's eyes flash. Why not? Have you forgotten last night? We shall need every bit of magic to find the temple and face Cersei. Cersei! Felicity spits. Pippa was right. You only look after yourself. That isn't true, I say. Isn't it?
Please, Gemma, Anne blubbers.
You've seen how the magic takes its toll upon me, I say. I'm not myself today, and Nell Hawkins has fallen into a trance. Just last night I dreamed she'd been found by Cersei. Felicity's butler enters.
Is everything all right, Miss Worthington?
Yes, Shames, thank you. He leaves, but he does not take our anger with him. It hangs about the room in wounded looks and a hostile quiet. My head aches.
Do you think it's true? Do you think Cersei really has taken hold of Nell Hawkins?
Anne asks through her tears. Yes, I say. So you see, it is imperative that we go into the realms again tonight. Once we find the temple and bind the magic, you may use it to make them think you are Queen Victoria herself, if you wish. But first we find the temple. And Cersei. Felicity exhales loudly.
Thank you, Gemma. I can keep Mother occupied and away from Lady Denby's clutches until tomorrow. Anne, you are about to become very ill.
I am.
No one would dare to speak badly of an invalid, she explains. Now, faint.
But what if they could tell that I'm pretending?
Anne, it is not terribly difficult to faint. Women do it all the time. You simply fall to the floor, close your eyes, and don't speak.
Yes, Anne says. Should I fall to the floor or here on the couch?
Oh, honestly, it doesn't matter. Just faint.
Anne nods. With the finesse of a born actress, she rolls her eyes back and crumples to the floor dramatically, like a souffle falling in on itself. It is the most graceful fainting spell I've ever seen. It is a pity it has been wasted on us.
Tonight, Felicity says, taking my hands.
Tonight, I agree. We push through the parlour doors as frantically as we can.
Shames! Shames! Felicity calls.
The tall, icy butler appears.
Yes, miss?
Shames, Miss Bradshaw has fainted. I fear she has taken ill. We must call for Mother at once. Even the placid Shames is disturbed.
Yes, miss, right away.
As the house erupts into an excited frenzy, for everyone, it seems, loves the potential for disaster, a break in the numbing routine, I take my leave. I must admit that I find a savage delight in rehearsing what I will say to Grandmama about this visit. And then Miss Bradshaw's kind, gentle spirit was so injured by these false accusations that she took ill and fainted. Yes, that will be a most satisfactory moment, if only I weren't so very tired. Dusk has settled over London, along with a bit of sleet. It's a raw evening, and I shall be glad to sit at my fire. I wonder what has happened to Miss Moore, if there is anything I can do to save her from her terrible fate. I wonder if I shall ever see Kartik again, or if he has been absorbed into the shadows of the Rakshana. Jackson's waiting patiently at the curb. That can only mean they've discovered me gone and come to the logical conclusion. I'm in for as much trouble as Felicity and Anne now. Most likely Tom sits inside the carriage, fuming.
"Evening, miss. Your grandmother was very worried about you,"
Jackson says, opening the carriage door for me. He takes my hand to help me up and in. "Thank you, Jack." I freeze. It is not Tom or Grandmama waiting for me. Sitting in my carriage is Miss McCleavy. She is joined by Falson from the Rakshana.
"Get in, if you please, miss,"
Jackson says, exerting pressure on my back. I open my mouth to scream. His hand presses hard against me, trapping the sound in my throat.
"I know where your family lives. Think on your poor dad, lying in the sick room, all vulnerable like."
"Jackson," Miss McCleavy calls.
"That will be enough."
Reluctantly, Jackson lets go. He closes the door behind me and swings up behind the horses. The lights of Mayfair fade away as the carriage lurches into the traffic heading for Bond Street. "Where are you taking me?" I demand.
"Somewhere we can talk," Miss McCleavy says. "You are a very slippery girl to catch, Miss Doyle."
"What have you done to Nell Hawkins?" I ask.
"Miss Hawkins is the least of my concerns at the moment. We must discuss the temple."
Falson douses a handkerchief with liquid from a small bottle. "What are you doing?" I ask, the terror rising in my throat.
"We can't very well have you knowing how to find our hideaway,"
Falson says. He looms over me. I fight back, turning my head left and right to avoid him, but he is too strong. The white of the handkerchief is all I can see as it floats lower, covering my nose and mouth at last. There is the inescapable, suffocating odour of ether. The last thing I see before succumbing to the darkness is Miss McCleavy popping a toffee into her mouth without a care in the world.